I can try and plan a sermon. And during that preparation, God is talking to me during that time of preparation, ready to then share with you. So hopefully, just that little detail is something that kind of brings amazement to you, that this God that we worship and serve is there today, speaking to us and being with us. And each day that we walk with him. So yeah, I wasn't even going to share that, but there you go. That was something to start with. So that is my word, okay? I must admit, I've been practicing all week saying it because it's actually quite a difficult word to say. So omnipotent, okay? And it basically means, oh, I've got the clicker, haven't I? Does it work, James? It does, look at that. Okay, so I've got the clicker. It means all powerful, okay? God is all powerful, but you could also say that God is sovereign, that he's in control of everything, that he is almighty, that he is divine, that he is unlimited. Okay, and those are just a few verses that kind of evidence what God is like. And God is the same at the beginning, at Genesis 1, as he is with Daniel, as he is with David, as he is with Moses, and as he is with Jonah. Okay, and obviously Jonah is what we're going to look at this morning. But just in case you needed yet another piece of evidence, because I don't think I put it on there. No, I didn't. So in Psalm 102, and it's verses 25. There we go. Yep, so 102, verse 25. In the beginning, you laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you remain. They will all wear out like a garment, like clothing you will change them, and they will be discarded. But you remain the same, and your years will never end. So again, it's just reaffirming to us that God is always the same. So if you'd like to turn in your Bibles to Jonah, we are going to look at that. Just a little note at the bottom there that I've put is that God can do anything, but he only does things that are within his character. Okay, so one of the things that God doesn't do, for example, is lie. God also doesn't tempt us. Okay, he is always working with us to achieve his kingdom goals. Okay, so I think that's something that is reassuring as well, that God can do all things, but it's all things within his character. So things that we've been talking about over the last few weeks, his love, his faithfulness, his trustworthiness, his all-powerfulness. Okay. So in Jonah, right at the beginning of Jonah, chapter 1, the other thing that always happens, by the way, when I'm due to preach, is that I manage to get a cold. It's happened again, so please just bear with me while my cold does its cold thing. Okay, so the word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai. Go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because its wickedness has come up before me. His instruction. God saying to Jonah, go and do this for me. As clear as I felt God speaking to me this week. Now, he was a prophet. I don't claim to be a prophet. I assume he'd heard from God before. He certainly was well aware of God's word, of the teachings. You know, he was aware of who God was and what God was. And he, I'm sure, was aware that God was all-powerful. He had experienced or heard the stories of Moses, for example. So for him then to turn around to say to God, actually, the answer's nope. I'm not going to do that, okay? Well, let's just say he had some courage to say no to God. I remember the first time the girls said no to me when I'd asked them to do something. And actually, it kind of stops you in your tracks as a parent when somebody says no to you. And obviously, Jonah had said no to God. And he'd said, actually, I don't want to do that. But why was it that he said no? Was it that he didn't want to? It was actually because the Ninevites were bad people. Okay, we can read what they were like. They were also non-Jewish people. And Jonah felt that because they were non-Jewish people, they didn't deserve God's mercy. They didn't deserve God's love. They didn't deserve the benefits of having that relationship with God. So really, what he's trying to do is he's trying to take that decision out of God's hands. And he's trying to say, well, actually, God, I think I know better. Those Ninevites, they don't deserve you. They don't need you. And actually, I know what you're like, God. I know that if I go and preach to them, they're going to understand your message. They're going to believe your message. They're going to change their ways. And then you're going to forgive them. And I don't want you to do that, God, because I don't like the Ninevites. And that was what Jonah's thinking was. Now, we're going to skip forward a little bit in the passage. But we're basically just going to look at the obvious things that happen. So he gets on a ship. There's a big storm. They draw lots. They work out that it's Jonah that's causing the problem because he's running away from God. God is merciful to the sailors that are on that ship. He could have destroyed the whole ship. Jonah could have fallen into the sea, and then a fish could have swallowed Jonah. But that's not how it happened. They lowered him into the water, and then the fish happened. So God was merciful to those sailors. Obviously, as we know, he ends up in a fish, a large fish. And then God commands, and these are, sorry, I should have skipped to this one a little bit quicker. But this is what God does. He then causes the fish to vomit Jonah onto the beach. And all of these things show that God is all-powerful, that he is in control. Now, I need somebody to be a Jonah, okay? Now, it needs to be somebody that can act quite grouchily and quite annoyed. Have we got anybody that thinks that they could do that today, this morning for us, and pretend to be Jonah? Now, I got somebody in mind, actually, and I thought this person could be a very good Jonah, only because often when it's a sunny day, this person loves to put a handkerchief on their head. And I think that to me just epitomizes what Jonah was probably like at this particular point in the story. Okay, so we're just going to have a little chair here at the front. And Mark, if you could come and be Jonah for me.
Oh, sorry.
So there we go, Jonah. So let's just read what it says in the Bible. So we're starting just at the end of chapter 3, okay? When God saw what they did, so this is the Ninevites, and how they turned from their evil ways, he had compassion and did not bring upon them the destruction that he had threatened. But Jonah was greatly displeased and became angry. He prayed to the Lord, "Oh Lord, is this not what I said when I was still at home? This is why I was so quick to flee to Tarshish. I knew that you are gracious and compassionate, God, slow to anger and abounding in love, a God who relents from sending calamity. "Now, O Lord, take away my life, for it is better for me to die than to live." But the Lord replied, "Have you any right to be angry?" Jonah went out and he sat down at the place east of the city. And there, can you stand the chair, sorry. There he made himself, you've got to listen to the author, I'm afraid. There he made himself a shelter, and in its shade, and waited to see what would happen to the city. Then the Lord, still showing his compassion, made a vine to grow up. So we need a tall, strong, burly vine. We've got some leaves here. Who would like to be the vine? Oh, come on. Here we go. Here's our vine. So if you could strategically hold those to shade our Jonah's head. Okay, so Jonah had some relief there. And he was shaded from the sun. So the Lord God provided a vine and made it grow up over Jonah to give shade for his head, to ease his discomfort. And Jonah was very happy about the vine. But at dawn the next day, God provided. So who wants to be my worm? Anybody volunteering to be a worm? Maybe somebody smaller? Any worms? Oh, well volunteered. Come on down. So you are a worm and you've got to eat the vine, okay? So just kind of make chomping noises. There we go. Perfect. This is working really well, isn't it? There we go. So the worm comes along and it chewed the vine so that it withered. So vine, there you go. You can disappear. Thank you. When the sun rose, God provided a scorching east wind. I don't think we'll do an east wind. We can all work that bit out in our heads. And Jonah once again said it would be better. Oh, sorry. Worm, you can go and sit down now as well. Thank you very much. Yeah, you can take those with you. Do you have the right to be angry about the vine? Do you have the right to be angry about the vine? I do, he said. I am angry enough to die. But the Lord said, you have been concerned about the vine, though you did not tend it or make it grow. It sprang up overnight and died overnight. But Nineveh has more than 120,000 people who cannot tell their right hand from their left, and many cattle as well. Should I not be concerned about that great city? Okay, thank you very much, Jonah. If you'd like to go and take a seat. A round of applause for all our volunteers and helpers. Thank you. Okay, so the first thing to make a point of there, I guess, is that God was in control of that situation. But also God was exhibiting his power in all of those different scenarios. God was showing Jonah, but also the people of Nineveh, what he was like. But there's also a lesson for us as well. Well, there's lots of lessons, and in fact, probably too many for us to talk or for me to mention all of them. But I've put them into a few key points, hopefully, that we'll all be able to take something from today's session. So what do we need to learn? First of all, Jonah was angry about the vine. But if you remember right back at the start of the story, he didn't want to go to Nineveh. He wasn't worried about the 120,000 people that were in Nineveh that were not Christians, that were not believers in God, that were not going to be saved. But he wasn't bothered. Yet he was bothered about the vine. Now, some of that, I think, was because the vine affected his comfort. His comfort was interrupted when that vine was destroyed. How often do we get out of that comfort zone? Or when we're out of that comfort zone, we say, God, you know what, actually, I don't like that. I don't want to be in that position. And for us, it's about priorities. What is our priority as an individual? What is our priority as a church? Is it about how many things we attend? Is it about how many people we tell about God? Is it about how many times we pray? Or is it actually about the souls that are outside of this building that our hearts should be breaking for on a regular basis? About the people that we meet in supermarkets, at work, our friends from school, college, etc. Those are the people that our hearts should be breaking for. Those should, or that should be, our priority. The second thing is that Jonah learned, and he knew it already, but Jonah learned that God was compassionate. That those people in Nineveh, even after the lives that they had lived, that God was still willing to forgive them because they changed their ways. How many times have we already made the decision on God's behalf? How many times have we said, well, you know what? I could invite that person, but I don't think they're going to change. And that's something that we need to not do. We need to remove that trail of thought. And we need to just be thinking that God is the God that can do all things. All I need to do is invite that person along, is to pray for that person. It's not us that does anything, it's God. And that's what we need to rely on. This was probably one of the trickiest for Jonah. It was to be able to show the forgiveness to the Ninevites in the same way that God did. How often do we hold a grudge? How often do we continue to be angry when actually we should just forgive? And I'm not standing up here saying that that is the easiest, because it isn't. You know, that is probably one of the hardest things, along with having priorities. You know, as a church, we've been through a lot of things. And often our priorities become insular, which sometimes isn't a bad thing, because if you're not in the position to be able to give, then it's pointless. We need to let God heal us first so that we can then help and be that tool, that important person for God to use. And then we need to surrender. We need to actually be willing to do what God wants us to do. There's no point trying to run away, because as we've seen with Jonah, one way or another, God will get you, in the nicest way of saying it. You know, there's so many things that Jonah tried to do. You know, I sometimes think that the fish was really disappointed. You know, that could have been a super meal for him, but he had to vomit Jonah up. You know, there's lots of other aspects of the story that if you think too much about, you can get, you know, you disappear down a rabbit hole. But that is my fourth important point, is to surrender to God. And I think as a church, this morning we need to, well, not just this morning, but overall, we need to surrender to what God wants us to do in this local area. Surrender to the way that God is moving. And that might mean that we have people in the church that, you know, shouldn't be in our church because we're a particular type of church. But actually, that's exactly what God is all about. It's the Ninevites of the area, you know, that God wants to bring into the church. Now, you know me, I'm always harping on about living an authentic life. So does having a God that's that, help us live an authentic life. I'm going to be honest with you. Not all the time, no. Because even though we know deep in our heart that God is all-powerful, that God is always with us, that he was there at the beginning, that he'll be there at the end, we still have our own individual struggles. And that isn't a bad thing to have those struggles, but it's to remember that in those struggles, God is with us. So we should take hope in his promises. We should take hope from his power, from his justice, from his love, from his mercy, from his grace, and from our forefathers. But also within our own church, from our elders. And I don't mean just the church leaders, but I mean people that are physically older than us, that have been walking as a Christian for longer than us, that have experienced some of the very issues that we are struggling with ourselves. You know, we all went to school, well, most of us. We all went to college. We've all had jobs or done jobs and had the stresses that those bring. So we've all had experience of trying to deal with those things. So talk, share, encourage. You know, I feel really blessed that regularly people from this congregation will come up and say, well, how's your week been? How's your day been? How's your health? How's this? How's that? And I think we're very good at doing that as a church. So please don't think that I'm berating you at this point. You know, that is a real encouragement that we do well at that as a church. But let's continue. Let's continue to be an encouragement to empower each other. So there's a few people in the church that like benches. I like benches. It's a good place to rest your legs. One of the things that you might know or you might not know, I don't know, it depends how well you know me. But after Tara and I split, I would go and meet up with Martin Harrison on a regular basis, just to talk, to pray, to cry, just to try and move through my life. And one of the things that I described to him was the way I felt. And even more recently, I shared with a house group as well, that often that's how I felt with God. So I'm purposefully sitting on the end of the bench. I know that God's there. I know that God's all powerful. I know that God can help me with my situation if I actually let him. But I don't. I purposefully sit on the end of the bench. I don't cross my legs like that and sit in a huff, but, well, I do sometimes, but that particular bench I think would be quite uncomfortable to sit like that. But what I'm saying is that that's what we do. God is just there waiting for you to turn to him, to speak to him, to have that conversation, to have that dialect, to trust him. It's the easiest thing to do, yet we don't do it. And that's what we need to do. We need to turn and face God and trust him. So what's next from here? Sorry, they looked bigger on the computer screen. Remember to focus on the right thing as we go into this week, into this month. If it's our reputation against God's, it should always be God's that comes first. I think one of the other reasons that Jonah didn't want to go to Nineveh was that he knew that God was going to forgive them, i.e. they weren't going to be destroyed. If God hadn't of forgiven them, Nineveh probably would have been destroyed. And that would have shown God's power, but it also would have backed up Jonah's reputation. Because Nineveh would have been no more. And actually, Jonah didn't want that to happen. He didn't want his reputation to be affected. How often do we feel the same? That if our reputation's at risk, we don't always witness or we don't always put ourselves out there. Have we responded to God Is there something that we're avoiding? Is there something that we're avoiding and running away from today? I don't know. Do we need to surrender? We need to always talk to God, whether we're angry, sad, happy. One of the other things that I've learned is if you're angry, and Martin will say it a lot from the front, Martin Harrison, if you're angry, just shout at God. You know, God's heard it all before. And he already knows how you feel, so you might as well tell him. And it's a good way of kind of getting it off your chest. Because you might not want to go to an elder and shout at them. They probably wouldn't appreciate it quite so much. And remember as we go into this week that God is always sat next to us on the bench. God is always there, whether you feel like it or not. He's always there, he won't let you down. So just turn on the bench and face him. Shall we just pray to close? Lord, thank you for this message of Jonah. Thank you, Lord, for the encouragement that it brings, that you continue to forgive, that you continue to share your love, your compassion. Lord, that you show us, even when we're angry, that compassion. Lord, as you did with Jonah, you made a vine grow that eased his discomfort. And Lord, we pray that we would rely on you, that we would talk to you, that we would share our problems with you. Lord, that we would surrender to what you would want us to do on this world, both as individuals, but also as a church, Lord. This morning, we hand over our lives to you. And we ask you, Lord, to take charge. Lord, we ask you to bless us, both as individuals and also as a congregation, Lord, that you would just really help us to fulfill your promises. Amen.